This is the Agile Thoughts Podcast, and I'm Lance Kine.
Hi, I'm Greg Eubin, and I really enjoy applying architecture principles to Agile teams, as well as applying Agile principles to architecture.
This is the first episode of a series about software architecture with guest Greg Eubin. Greg's career includes over 30 years of multifaceted experience with a proven track record of architecting global, large-scale, highly available consumer-facing solutions in agile ways. He is recognized as a technical specialist by Ford Motor Company and held roles ranging from developer to architect. Most recently, he has applied an architect's perspective while being an agile evangelist and agile transformation coach. Hey, Greg, so there's two types of architects. Can you tell us about those kinds of roles?
Thanks, Lindsay, for having me on. It's great to talk with you again. So when I look at the types of architects that I've experienced, right, you've got data architects, you've got application architects, you've got software architects, solution architects, enterprise architects. And
that's more than two, Greg.
I know it is. It definitely is. But what I want to kind of focus on is the perspective. And there are two perspectives for those architects. There's the application software architects, which also can be called lead developers, anchors. They're inward facing on what's being developed. So they're going to work with the developers. They're going to organize the code. They're going to pay attention to the quality of the software. They're going to look at how it's behaving in production. And then there's what I would call maybe more enterprise. They're outwardly focused on things. And so you have solution architects, enterprise architects, business architects playing in that role. And they are concerned about how various teams and all the software that's being developed by these various teams interact with each other at a macro level. And so those are basically what I look at, the two, the inward facing and the outward facing.
Oh, cool. All right. And so let's see. So development and teams have inward facing architects. And why do we need these outward facing architects?
What they're trying to figure out is how the system that is being developed by that team fits into the whole. Very similar to how the more inward facing, the application architects, lead developers, they're paying attention to how classes and code modules that each developer is interacting with each other. The enterprise architect or the outward-facing architect, they're looking at those pieces, applying the same rules, principles, and everything else, but how they interact with other teams and other codes so that everything comes together as a cohesive solution. And so they're going to do two things with that. One, they're going to educate the team on how their piece fits into the whole so that they have that perspective, as well as they're going to then take what that team is building and what the concepts are for that solution, and they're going to share it with other architects, other teams.
Oh, okay. Like, what is it? So I think most people on the show are familiar with architects who argue about class diagrams. Is that still a thing?
I hope not. I mean, you want to have those conversations. They are valuable conversations. If you're talking about class diagrams, or you're talking inward facing, and you're looking at those boundaries of the classes and what makes sense to fit into one class versus another, and those are good dialogues to have, and you should have them with your developers. Externally facing, you're going to have similar conversations, but it's going to be more around systems that the teams are building. And you're going to have those same conversations from one system to another system as to where that boundary needs to be between the two of them. You're trying to reduce the fragmentation and things like that at a macro level versus what a inward-facing architect or application architect is going to do is they're trying to reduce fragmentation at the code level.
So most people on the show are probably familiar with the architects at the code level, the inward-facing ones. And Agile frankly, has kind of loosened the reins, if you will, and that teams should be in charge of their own architecture. And so maybe that role is now less common, and maybe the role is much more common in the systems architecting side of things. What kinds of problems happen if you don't have an enterprise architect?
Yeah, so I'm very much about evolutionary architecture, and that especially at the code level, right? And so that inward facing, you control everything. And so it's really easy to evolve as the requirements come in. From an outward facing, you know, the team has a lot of things that are beyond their control. And so they have to then work more with others. There's dependencies and things like that. And so if that requires more thought and planning to make sure that those pieces fit together nicely. And so I really like, many times as an architect, I will pair with that lead developer or that application architect. And we will then work with another pair that is the architect and lead developer for another system. And we will then discuss how that connection should be and where those boundaries and who's taking what responsibility for what aspect between that. If we didn't do that, we run the risk of building an API that isn't going to serve anybody's needs. Or if the dependency gets reversed and the other team goes first, they're going to expect something that is not realistic to come from a system, right? Mm-hmm. So having that conversation between the two systems becomes very important. I have seen where a team built their call expectations for an API before the API was written, and they got it way wrong. And they had to go back and redo all of that work because they put a bunch of expectations, didn't have the conversations, and come to realize that API is not capable, and neither in that system, not just the API, but the system that they were calling wasn't capable of doing what they expected.
Okay. Maybe we could talk a little bit about artifacts now. I like this frame where you talk about the inward-facing architect who's working with the application level and downwards, and then the outward-facing architect. Are the artifacts different for those different roles?
No. Okay. Actually, they are not, which is really great, and it really helps that the conversations. So I primarily use sequence diagrams. I do them at the macro level, not at the class level, but this system makes a call to this system, and this is the response. And so I will do flows using sequence diagrams to show at a macro level what is taking place in the larger system. And then that is then used as a tool, one for the team that I'm supporting, so they understand how they fit in the big picture, but two, to help the team, and this is where I really like embedding and pairing with the team, define how to be a good client of their system, right? So it's a part of teaching them, hey, if you want to play nice, this is how we expect you to behave when you are calling us. And so they can put those expectations in. And so the sequence diagram works great. I'll even go a little bit further. Not just artifacts, but the principles, the solid principles, also apply at the macro level of how one system interacts with another. And the solid principles obviously are used quite a bit for coding, but they also work very well at the macro level.
Okay. And can you express an example of what's a sequence diagram like?
So a sequence diagram is basically a set of systems I put across the top, and they have, as a call comes in, a lifeline, you know, is started, and then it performs an action. But we basically are just on the call line. We're saying what API we're calling into on that system, and then if that system has to turn around and call other systems, we'll see lines going off to the right to other systems, and they perform an action, and then that flow comes back. And I do actually, lifelines become really important at that level as well, because you want to know whether you are dealing with an asynchronous process or a synchronous process. So if it's asynchronous, you're going to see a break in that lifeline as it queued it for later processing.
Okay.
So it's a lot of fun to do.
So it sounds like it's mapping out the interactions between those various systems.
And, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Ace is an agile consultant who shares space with a coffee shop in order to save on the rent. Meet this hard-boiled agile consultant and follow his adventures on helping his clients become agile no matter the circumstance. Scrum Noir, the project management comic book that teaches you agile, is available on Amazon. Just search for Scrum Noir. N-O-I-R. Check out the goodies in the show notes. There we will have links to some of the information that was mentioned in this show. And also you will see how to contact Greg Euben. What are show notes? Show notes are information that zaps into your podcast player when you subscribe to the show. If you downloaded this MP3 from a website, you can go back to the website, and on that page, you will also see the show notes. Next episode, more Greg Euben. So earlier I said something about, are people still doing class diagrams? Can you tell us a little bit about that? Like, what is your feeling about an architect who's inward facing using class diagrams versus not? Is there a problem happening? Is that the best practice that people follow nowadays still? What's the story there?